Good morning. I call the House Special Committee on Fisheries to order. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024, and the time is 10:04 a.m. We are meeting in the Max Grimberg Committee Room 120 in the Capitol Building hearing in Juneau. I ask that you please silence your cell phones. The staff assisting us today is Shelby with the Juneau LIO and Cheryl with House Records. The following members present is Representative Hemshoot, Representative McCormick, Representative McCabe, and myself, Chair Vance. We have a quorum to conduct business. We have two items on today's calendar, and that is to hear H.R. 8, Fisheries Bycatch Regulations, by myself, and then hear S.C.R. 10 by Senator Stevens. Ooh, it's a shared district day. First on our agenda item, we will hear H.R. 8, Fisheries Bycatch Regulations. And I will call my Chief of Staff, Mr. Jake Almeida, to walk us through the resolution. So if you would please place your name on the record.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Jake Almeida, Chief of Staff to Representative Vance. House Resolution 8 before you, encouraging the Department of Fish and Game to adopt certain regulations relating to fisheries bycatch. So I'll quickly just walk through the sponsor statement and then kind of explain the intent and where we're at. So House Resolution 8 will encourage the Department of Fish and Game through their regulatory authority and through the commissioner's seat on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council to support actions and regulatory changes on both the state and federal levels to reduce bycatch. Alaska's rich marine resources support thriving fisheries managed by the NPFMC under the Magnuson-Stevens Fishery Conservation and Management Act. However, alongside the targeted harvest of seafood, these fisheries inevitably will result in bycatch. This is fish caught incidentally and often discarded due to regulatory constraints or unsuitability for commercial use. Bycatch poses a significant challenge to the health and sustainability of marine ecosystems, as well as the economic viability of fishing operations statewide, and ultimately our Alaskans' way of life. Current regulations allow for the annual discard of tens of millions of pounds of fish in both the Bering Sea and the Gulf of Alaska waters, where these fisheries take place, representing the substantial loss of potential food resources and economic value. Moreover, this resolution will acknowledge the recommendations of the newly created within the last number of years Alaska Bycatch Review Task Force and the underlying Bycatch Advisory Council, which emphasize the importance of incremental regulatory changes to improve bycatch reduction, particularly for species caught with non-targeted gear or discarded due to regulatory requirements. In essence, House Resolution 8 represents a proactive step towards a more sustainable fishing practices in our federal fisheries and emphasizing the need to reduce bycatch. This resolution underscores the importance of balancing economic interests with environmental conservation to achieve a more resilient and prosperous future for Alaska's fisheries and way of life. So that is kind of the legislative intent for the introduction of this resolution. Currently, the draft before you focuses on utilization of bycatch, kind of the act of what fisheries are to do with bycatch when they do have that. But the new intended direction from the chair is to focus on the outcry that we're hearing from Alaskans, and that is reduce bycatch, reduce the wanton waste of our resources, tens of millions of pounds of, you know, various species of halibut, salmon, all other species that we're seeing declines in that are affecting everywhere in the state, really, but obviously particularly in our northern region of the state of our Yukon and Kuskokwim River fisheries. We're just seeing the effects of bycatch everywhere. And so the intent is that Alaskans are wanting to see solutions, and Alaskans are wanting to see the state with its seats on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council move towards an effort of doing whatever it takes, whether that's utilization of bycatch after it's received or further restraints on regulations of existing trawl fisheries or fisheries that result in mass amounts of bycatch, whatever it looks like. What the chair has been hearing and what I'm sure many of you have been hearing is that all bycatch is wanton waste and we need to see a reduction in it as soon as possible. So the intent is to move the resolution a little bit more broadly than just focusing on utilization. And so the chair wants to work with all members of the committee to do that. But we want to focus real quick on utilization with some new information that's come out last week. The Bycatch Advisory Council held a meeting. They adopted some findings based on the work that they've been doing on utilization of bycatch. And with that, we have the Kenai, one of the members who sits on that advisory council, the mayor of Kenai, Mr. Brian Gabriel. He is with us on Teams, and he would like to walk through some of those recent findings that will kind of build onto this conversation.
Thank you, Mr. Mita. Before we do that, I'd like to let the record reflect that we were joined by Representative Carpenter at 10:04 and Representative Stutz at 10:07. So, Mr. Gabriel, if you can join us, I think we're ready to hear your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the...
There you are.
Madam Chair, members of the... Can you hear me?
Yes, and we can see you quite nicely, too.
Oh, thank you. So as your chief of staff pointed out, if you as he said, I'm the mayor of the city of Kenai, and I was originally appointed to the Coastal Community Mayor seat on the Alaska Bycatch Review Task Force, which finished its work back in November of 2022. In March of 2023, the commissioner established the Bycatch Advisory Council through a commissioner order number one. And the purpose of the Bycatch Advisory Council would be to advise the Alaska Department of Fish and Game on ways to implement recommendations contained in the final report of the Alaska Bycatch Review Task Force. So that gets a little bit of context of where we are now. One of the things the chair did was on the Bycatch Advisory Council was to form a bycatch utilization subcommittee. And I volunteered to be the chair of that subcommittee. We had several other members. One was Duncan Fields, who was Kodiak. He was the on the Alaska Bycatch Review Task Force. In addition to that, we had Chelsea Randall, who was the assistant director of the Alaska Groundfish Data Bank. One of the recommendations out of the Alaska Bycatch Review Task Force was the state was, and I'll quote this just way of a little reference here, the state of Alaska should support taking incremental measures through the regulatory process to improve bycatch utilization with a particular focus on species that are otherwise marketable but are caught with non-targeted gear or discards in a directed fishery that are required by regulation. And what the subcommittee did, the purpose was to identify issues which would need to be addressed when considering utilization of bycatch that could not be avoided. And again, for reference, bycatch is defined as fish which are harvested in a fishery but are not sold. That's sort of the context and background of where we are now. So we had four meetings between November 20th of 2023 and March 12th of 2024. We did take public testimony at every meeting, and we did have ADF&G staff there. Ms. Baker attended three of the four meetings. We had presentations. One was from Jim Harmon, with C-Share, which is a voluntary federally permitted prohibited species donation program. So I guess if you look at where this is a template, this program is about as close as we have right now to utilizing prohibited bycatch and finding a use for that, which is donations that, to distribute to communities and food banks. We had Deputy Commissioner Rachel Baker, who provided an overview of Gulf Alaska bycatch regulations. And then Chelsea Randall, who again was Assistant Director to the Alaska Groundfish Data Bank, who provided perspective from processors as we went through this as we sort of worked our way through this recommendation. So what the subcommittee focused on was the need to sort of pare this down because, as we know, bycatch is present in every fishery, and there's different types of bycatch. There's, you know, low value bycatch, high value bycatch. So what we did is we addressed, you know, the high value part of that species, such as salmon, halibut, and crab. We also talked about where the starting point would be, which would be the Gulf of Alaska. We, you know, sort of picked that as a place to start. And then addition to that was the halibut bycatch was suggested to be a point of discussion, I think, mainly because of the volume of the bycatch with halibut. And then in addition to that, we identified issues that would they'd have to be, pared down related to bycatch. And those issues, categories, whatever you would like to call them, would be in the areas of regulatory, economic, logistical, and political issues. We started with regulatory, and one of the things that, if you went through this process, and let me just focus by start off by saying that there's not a revelation at the end of this report or solution or anything such as that. It's simply a matter of trying to identify a roadmap of areas you might need to address if you were going to utilize bycatch. And the first part would be the regulatory process, where you'd have to, since we are both federally and state managed, to find a regulatory changes that would help you facilitate the utilization of bycatch, including the International Pacific Halibut Commission. Another thing we talked about on the regulatory side were proceeds. How would the proceeds be utilized? And I think that was a big portion of that. And I'll kind of get into how that ties in the public comment here a little bit later. But how would you market the bycatch? And is it? I think it also kind of drills down into whether this is profitable for processors if they were mandated to process bycatch.
Mayor Gabriel, could you pause for one moment? I just want to highlight that we did submit the report to the members that Mayor Gabriel is walking us through. So I see a lot of notes being taken here. If you want to reference that report, it will help you be able to keep track of what he's talking about. And if you don't have one, we can get one for you. So he is on the second page of the subcommittee findings. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as a side note to that, too, I will point out that, is again, we're advisory to the commissioner, and this subcommittee report has been presented to the Bycatch Advisory Council, but has not yet been presented to the commissioner. So I want to sort of make that, clearly define that I'm here to sort of, have a pretty narrow scope of what my testimony is going to be, and that is related to just our subcommittee report to the Bycatch Advisory Council. And thank you for that. So moving on, the bycatch retention, that would be another, how would that be addressed? Because in some certain situations, you may actually end up with, higher mortality of what you consider bycatch or non-targeted species through different regulations. On the economic side, this is a pretty large element to determine sort of how this moves forward, in my opinion. When you got processors that are processing targeted species, and then if you have mandatory bycatch that are brought into the plant, there's certain issues with how they process that isn't necessarily super efficient. So they have areas of concerns if you were to move forward with this. Undersized fish, how that affects market conditions was another issue that was brought up, that if you weren't, let's say they were processing undersized fish, that could have a detrimental effect to the overall market conditions for that species. And then in addition to that, there may be subsidies that would have to be addressed depending on how regulations were implemented. To facilitate that utilization. On the harvest side, you had quality challenges. You know, as fishermen are out on the grounds fishing, they're geared for one species, and if they're mandated to hold another species, then they've got limited capacity on their deck space, maybe freezer space, things like that. And how they handle each species could be somewhat different. On marketing issue, again, small fish taken as bycatch, that could be a detriment to the overall market. It could result in poor quality for certain products that are entering the market. And then one of the things that was brought up was just that the seafood industry was struggling at this point in time, and utilization requirements moving forward may be an issue. Logistical transportation challenges for the distribution market. And again, this sort of goes back to how the revenue, I think, is generated and where it's spent. If you look at the C-Share program again, which is sort of the template of what we have to utilize bycatch now, that's fairly heavily subsidized. And then on the political side, you had the public resistance to allow required retention and utilization of prohibited species before further reduction measures are implemented, and concerns about incentivizing or institutionalizing bycatch. You know, we did take public comment, and I just want to sort of cover that quickly here. And again, that was sort of a theme that we heard as far as the public commenting went, is that there's a need to minimize bycatch before moving forward with the utilization program, and important not to incentivize bycatch. And then all fisheries have bycatch, and so there may be different solutions or strategies based on the species that you're trying to utilize. Again, going to back to some of the issues from the harvesters that they could run into out on the grounds when they're trying to figure out how to separate their bycatch, retained bycatch, and their targeted species. Under report conclusions, I just want to point out a few things that several of the members of the public expressed specific opposition to moving forward with a proposal to allow or require retention of halibut by trawl vessels. And then some of the testimony was received supporting the general concept of full utilization, and ideas were suggested which spoke to regulatory economic discharge, and that's rather than prohibit species. And then again, a mandatory rather than voluntary program would need to have a full economic analysis, which would address the issues listed above, along with others which might be identified. So there was no recommendation. I guess, as I sort of conclude here, I wanted to point out that this is very complicated, and it seems a little bit. And the overall, I think the reason that we put that in there, and what you're looking at is, there's all this large amount of fish that are being discarded as bycatch. You know, how can we utilize those and put them into a market and have people eat those species? But it's a lot of moving parts and very complicated. And I think because when you look at just the number of species that are pertain to bycatch and how you would deal with each one of those species, so there's not one size fits all for each one, and it's complicated. So I guess with that, I would conclude my report. It was an interesting process to go through that, and again, this is more of a, hey, these are issues that are going to need to be addressed as you, if there was a willingness or desire to move towards utilization of bycatch.
Thank you, Mayor Gabriel. I'd like to let the record reflect we were joined by Representative Johnson around 10:10 a.m. Do we have any questions for Mayor Gabriel from committee members? Representative Hemshue.
Thank you, Chair Vance. I'm excited about this advisory council. And my question is, in four short meetings, I'm guessing you weren't able to do this, but through the chair, Mayor Gabriel, were you able to look at what's done in fisheries internationally? What does Norway do or Iceland with their bycatch?
There was some discussion about that, but we didn't see any necessary reports of how, you know, specifically they were handling bycatch. I think there was some discussion about Iceland and some of the things that they were doing, but I don't recall a specific report on that.
I would like to also mention that we have included under the documents the original bycatch task force report from, I believe, 2022. It is a lengthy document, but it is very robust of a lot of the work. And this advisory council came out of that, and this subcommittee was just one piece that Mayor Gabriel, they just concluded. And so I appreciate the conversation of the original intent of wanting to reduce the wanton waste and looking at utilization to see if it was possible and what all is involved so that we can see if that's even possible. But it sounds like that economically and logistically, it's pretty complicated. Is that really the main takeaway, Mayor Gabriel?
I would say yes, as I said, moving as you move forward and consider this, it's very complicated. There's a lot of moving parts, and throughout that whole, you know, sort of process from harvesting the fish through marketing, there's things that need to be considered all along that route.
Are there any further questions on the utilization committee from members? Okay, while we have you, Mayor Gabriel, you've been participating in this larger committee. Can you just tell us some of the other considerations that the advisory council and task force has discussed as ways to reduce bycatch?
Well, I guess what I would do is ask that you reference our work that's on our website. And the reason I say that is it would take quite a bit of time to go through all the work that's been done for reduction on bycatch. So what we did, we had a number of recommendations as the bycatch review task force, and then the bycatch advisory committee, again, or council rather, formed by the commissioner to be advisory to him to help implement those. And so when you look at what we have on our website, you'll have recommendations, and then you'll also have categories in there that list the progress of each one of those recommendations. So it's pretty lengthy, but it's pretty easily read as far as layman's terms. So you can kind of, it wasn't just something, and this was something that I really was glad to see come out of this, was that our recommendations as the review task force did not just go on a shelf. That there's, you know, that we're actively looking at ways and advising the commissioner on ways to implement these recommendations. So when you go through there, you can very quickly see what the recommendations were, in addition to that, what the actions have been so far on each recommendation.
Thank you, Mayor Gabriel. And last session, we did have Ms. Linda Kozak in to discuss kind of the overview. So for members and the public, you can go back on our fisheries committees and reference that. But the report is a very robust report, and the current advisory council is looking at how to implement those actions. So thank you for your presentation on the report today. We look forward to just more work that the advisory council is doing, because as you've heard, this is very important to the people of Alaska, and more and more people are getting engaged. So I appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of the committee.
So any further discussion on this resolution before we set it aside? Okay. So I just would like to, you know, give full transparency about what my intent is. I introduced this last year with the topic of utilization because, as we said, Alaskans just don't want wanton waste. And instead of just saying, hey, all of these fish are dead, how can we utilize them for food or for a product that could benefit the people? However, as you heard, that is a much higher, heavier lift. And so I have, what my intent is to remove the whereas sections in the resolution regarding utilization. And I want to open this up to receive amendments from members about ways that we could encourage the Commissioner of Fish and Game to implement regulation on the avoidance and reduction of bycatch. And the Bycatch Advisory Council has been looking at other ways. And I just encourage, you know, conversation among members, among the user groups. You can see some of them here in the room, and also just what the public is saying so that every voice can be heard. But the Commissioner of Fish and Game does have a seat on the MPFMC and influence, and one of the things that the people are wanting from us is that influence in what we can do. So I will set an amendment deadline for to my office by tomorrow at 5 p.m. so that we can take this up again on Thursday. And so I will now set HR 8 aside, and we will be taking public testimony on this issue on Thursday as well. Next, we have SCR 10 for our second and final agenda item, and it's the Joint Legislative Seafood Industry Task Force, and its first hearing by the Senate Finance Committee is carried by Senator Stevens. And I will take a brief video so that we can see if they're ready. back on the record. For our second and final agenda item today, we will now hear SCR 10, Joint Legislative Seafood Industry Task Force, in its first hearing by the Senate Finance Committee, as carried by my senator and Representative Stutes, Senator Gary Stevens. So we have Senator Stevens and Mr. Tim Lamkin. If you can please come to the table, introduce yourself, and begin walking us through this resolution.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Gary Stevens, Senator Kodiak, District C. It's changed over the years, but it is C now. Pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much for listening to this this task force that we've been thinking about for some time. I guess to sort of give you a little background, when I was in the House in 2002, I was the vice chair of the Salmon Task Force, and the chairman was Senator Ben Stevens. And we were able to address the issues that were facing the salmon industry at that time and able to actually solve a lot of the problems, raise the quality of salmon, really pay more attention to the product we were putting out so that it was all as good as it could possibly be. And also we were able to put some money into helping fishermen replace engines as well as get ice machines in Bristol Bay and ice equipment on vessels as well. So we really made some major progress at that time. So this is a reflection of where we are today. SCR 10, the Seafood Task Force, is really an effort to explore ways that the state can help the seafood industry at this time. We're trying to recover from a terrible tailspin that we are all in, the entire industry at this point. The seafood industry, as you know, Madam Chair, is the largest manufacturing sector in the state. We employ some 48,000 workers in more than 142 communities in Alaska. And those of us who are from coastal Alaska know that it's very important, one of the largest sources of municipal revenue in 11 communities throughout the state. The industry has almost a $6 billion overall impact on our state. But there are several market and economic headwinds that we know we are facing, including depressed consumer demand after COVID, a weakened U.S. currency, deflated prices, and international overharvesting around the world. And they've all led to make Alaska's seafood products a little less competitive. This task force, proposed task force, is modeled after the one, as I said, in 2002. And once again, it's an attempt to find some solutions to offer at the state level, also working with the federal government on innovations that they may have, and also working with global markets, and finally trying to find adjustments that can be made to the industry to help them, to try to turn things around in our seafood industry here in Alaska. So, Madam Chair, that's what the task force is, and that's what the intention is, and it's gone through some changes in Senate finance. I'm not concerned how big it is. I'm not concerned. We really want to add to it as many as possible, but we want to make sure that it's a working group that can actually get something accomplished. And at the end, the whole point is at the end of, or before the next session begins, that we have some specific bills introduced that would help the industry forward. So thank you again, Madam Chair, for listening to this, and I appreciate you doing that. And Tim Lamkin is here with me. He's been working on that bill and can try to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much. Mr. Lamkin, could you walk us through kind of the mechanics of the goals of the task force and also the shape of it?
For the record, Tim Lamkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Before you should be version Sierra.alpha SA of the bill, SCR 10. The resolution reads or speaks for itself. This is sort of a proposal to put something on the table to address specific components that the task force would be asked to evaluate. It's may not certainly be limited to this. This is a fairly complex industry, a lot of moving parts here. And so I expect it's going to be a lot of conversations, a lot of ideas being discussed at this task force. The composition itself was drafted to try to be as broadly representative as possible. Again, there's room for flexibility here. A lot of different stakeholders, representatives in this industry. And this was a good, what we felt in the other body was a good starting point to get the conversation proposal on the table.
Wonderful. Thank you. Questions from committee members? Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, looking at the recommendation here, or as it's drafted, the makeup of the task force, and it has three members representing the seafood processing sector and three commercial seafood harvesters. Is there a possibility that you could have seafood harvesters that are also seafood processors, or are those two mutually exclusive?
That's entirely possible. There are fishermen who process their own fish, so certainly they could be included. And we'd want to include everyone. And I think the key point, Representative Carpenter, is that everyone is going to be invited to come to the task force, and no element is going to be excluded. So even though you may not have a seat on the board on the task force, your concerns will be heard and be acted upon.
Follow up. Representative Hemshoot.
Thank you, Chair Vance. Through the chair, I'm really excited about this task force. I think it's a great idea. The one section you said you're very open to who the membership might be on this task force. A concern I have is that they have 6 months to do their work, and it happens to be during prime fishing season. So I was wondering if we could open the section on the commercial seafood harvesters and just not delineate the Roman numerals 1, 2, and 3 there, and just anybody who feels they can take on this task from within the commercial sector can apply, and not delineate that it has to be the 1 salmon, 1 whitefish, and 1 shellfish. Would that, is there something there I haven't thought of that you would prefer to keep the language the way it is?
Representative Hampshire, whatever you want to do is fine with me. The job will be done no matter who's at the table. And you should realize too that I think a lot of work will be done not only in the summertime but in the winter as well, as we move up towards January. That's the goal, is to have things in place when we come back, when the legislature convenes in January.
Follow up?
No, I think I'm good. Thank you.
Any questions from this side of the room? Representative McCabe?
Less of a question and more of a comment, or maybe it is a question for Senator Stevens. How about if we put sending the report directly to our U.S. trade representative and delegation or ambassador, so she can include seafood in her report that is currently bereft of any mention of Alaska seafood as one of the cornerstones of the state's economy? Seems like we're trying to push through money through ASME and other places, Alaska seafood, and our own U.S. trade delegation doesn't even recognize that it's the best seafood on the planet, especially that comes from Kodiak.
Yeah, we'll take that. Well, actually, Representative McCabe, I think it's exactly right, and that's what we have to do. We have to make sure that our congressional delegation knows what we're up to. We'll share with them anything, and I'm sure one of the things come out of it will be to involve our congressional delegation as well.
Any further questions from committee members? I would like to mention that we have Tracy Welch in the room, Executive Director of United Fishermen of Alaska, and Greg Smith, the Communications Director for Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. We have Brian O'Leary, the Chief Operating Officer from OBI Seafoods, and Julie Decker, the President of Pacific Seafood Processors Association, here, or at least off-net, that can give testimony to this. And I believe some in the room are available for questions from members. So did you have invited testimony that you wanted to bring forth? Who did you want to begin with first?
Tim Lampkin, Staff Senator Stevens, Chair Vance. We've got Ms. Julie Decker, I believe, online, representing PSPA. As mentioned, also Mr. O'Leary. I believe we have Mr. Greg Smith coming from ASME. And as you mentioned, Tracy Welch is in the room as well.
All right. Thank you. Well, let's thank you so much, Senator Stevens, for taking time away from managing the Senate to come and present before us today. Let's begin with the people that we have in the room. And I see directly behind you is Mr. Greg Smith from ASME. If you would please come and provide your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Vance and members of the House Fisheries Committee. For the record, my name is Greg Smith, Communications Director for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. ASME appreciates you hearing SCR 10, as well as the efforts of the legislature to address the economic crisis facing the Alaska seafood industry currently. The Alaska seafood industry is currently weathering its worst economic storm in decades. And while the seafood industry is used to unusual market dynamics and ebbs and flow in dock prices, the current situation we find ourselves is unprecedented. It is not just salmon, pollock, or sable fish that are experiencing these market pressures. It is, in fact, nearly all Alaska species currently facing a large supply and demand imbalance. The reasons for these are many. One is the sheer size of the Russian harvest and the significantly lower value of the Russian ruble, and that has allowed Russia to sell pink salmon and salmon roe to our shared global customers at historically low prices, thus driving down the market value for all salmon species. And while Russia is finally blocked from the U.S. market, we still must compete against them in the global market, where by value 70% of Alaska seafood and 80% by weight goes. The list of economic challenges goes on. There are a multitude of other geopolitical obstacles affecting trade. Inflation globally has reduced consumer spending power. In the U.S. alone, the average cost of groceries has increased 30% in the last year, and that has forced consumers to leave seafood out of the shopping basket and instead replace it with less expensive proteins such as chicken and ground beef. On top of that, interest rates have climbed and remained high, making it financially impractical for fishermen and processors alike to restructure debt, carry inventory, invest in new capital projects, or even just maintain the assets that they have. The cost of labor, fuel, insurance, and many other fixed expenses also continue to grow. All that said, the Alaska seafood industry is resilient, but it does find itself at a new crossroads. Over the last several months, we at ASME have heard numerous ideas and possible solutions to help solve our current crisis and strengthen the industry in the long term. However, we do believe that a process to vet ideas with a diverse group of experts will lead to better and more effective courses of action. There's no silver bullet to solve the challenge the industry faces, and this situation certainly will not turn around overnight. This is why ASME supports SCR 10 as a vehicle to further investigate and collaborate amongst key stakeholders and chart new opportunities for the long-term economic health of Alaska's seafood industry. Thank you, Senate President Stevens, for sponsoring the legislation, and Chair Vance and members of the committee for seeking a practical solution to find a way out of this crisis. We look forward to contributing and helping every step of the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Next, we have Tracy Welch here in the room from United Fishermen of Alaska. If you could please state your name for the record, begin your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Vance, members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today in support of the Senate Concurrent Resolution 10, which seeks to establish a joint legislative seafood industry task force. For the record, my name is Tracy Welch, and I'm the executive director for United Fishermen of Alaska. UFA is the statewide commercial fishing trade association. We represent 36 different member groups participating in fisheries throughout the state and federal fisheries off Alaska's coast. We also represent approximately 500 individual and lifetime members. In addition to serving as UFA's executive director, I'm also a harvester, having participated in Southeast salmon and longline fisheries for over 30 years. UFA strongly supports SCR 10, and we thank Senator Stevens and his staff for their work in putting this resolution together. At UFA's February meeting, we unanimously supported the formation of a legislative seafood industry task force as soon as practical, and we are appreciative of how quickly SCR 10 was introduced. Alaska's seafood industry is facing unprecedented challenges in every area of the state and across every fishery. Alaskan fishermen, processors, processing workers, support businesses, and communities are confronted with extremely low prices, plant closures, lost markets, barriers to business credit, and foregoing fishing opportunities. As I'm sure everyone here is aware, contraction of the Alaska seafood industry significantly impacts state and local tax revenues, contributions to ASME, tens of thousands of Alaska jobs, hundreds of Alaska-based businesses, and dozens of Alaska's communities. The estimated loss to Alaska's economy in 2023 alone was estimated to be over $2 billion. I can't sum up the situation more succinctly than by saying the Alaska seafood industry is in crisis. We view the Legislative Seafood Industry Task Force as an important mechanism for industry, administration, and policymakers to provide recommendations on legislative and administrative actions to improve the economics of Alaska seafood industry. While immediate actions must be taken and identified to stabilize our industry, the task force can focus on developing a long-term vision and strategy for Alaska seafood industry. We appreciate that harvesting seeds are included on the proposed composition of the task force and the recognition that harvesters play a critical role in catching the fish that enters the seafood supply chain. Our industry is in a tailspin, and any action that can support our fishing businesses and communities, either on the expense side or the market side, is a step in the right direction. For these reasons, UFA supports SCR 10. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Let's go to those who are online. We have Ms. Julie Decker from PSEA. If you would please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Yes, Madam Chair, can you hear me okay?
Yes, loud and clear.
Great, thank you. Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Julie Decker. I live in Wrangell, Alaska, and have worked in the seafood industry for 30 years, beginning in 1994 when I first worked in a cannery during college summer break. I am the president of the Pacific Seafood Processors Association, or PSPA, and here to express our support for SCR 10. PSPA is a trade association which represents 11 major seafood processing companies operating over 30 facilities and in over 20 communities in Alaska. Our member companies buy hundreds of millions of pounds of fish from thousands of independent commercial fishermen. We process it and move it to markets around the world. PSPA member companies have made significant investments in the future of Alaska seafood, including capital investments in the communities in which they operate. Although the seafood industry can be very volatile, these companies are invested for the long term. The Alaska seafood industry, as others have testified, is facing economic conditions unlike any since the collapse of salmon value in the 1990s, except this time it's across multiple species. In 2023, multiple economic and geopolitical factors occurred simultaneously, creating dire economic conditions, as Senator Stevens mentioned and Tracy Ulch. Frankly, these conditions came together and depressed markets much faster than and more dramatically than anyone predicted, beginning in late 2022. And in this year, the downturn is still occurring. Fishermen and processors have borne the brunt of these negative impacts to date. However, communities are beginning to feel the trickle-down effects, which continue to increase as more businesses and residents feel the pain across the state. For example, we recently heard the news that Peter Pan Seafood and Whittier Seafoods will not open in 2024. Which will leave some communities and fishermen without markets and tax revenues. While some problematic market conditions will improve over time, the Alaska seafood industry also has systemic challenges to competitiveness and fairness when comparing it globally with others that we compete. PSPA has been advocating for a number of state and federal actions that can help support the seafood industry during this downturn. However, the challenges are larger than any one sector of the industry or region of the state. They impact more than just the industry. They directly impact coastal communities and state revenues. This task force will help by bringing together people from across the state, from various sectors, from various policymaking groups, with a focus on the economic challenges in the seafood industry. This task force will help us all better understand the problems, allow a broad variety of potential solutions to come forward, and provide a roadmap to a resilient Alaska seafood industry in the future, where fishermen, processors, and communities don't just survive, but thrive. PSPA thanks the sponsor of this resolution and its focus on the Alaska seafood industry's economic challenges and solutions. I thank you for your time today, and I'll stand by if there's any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Decker. Next, we have Brian O'Leary, the Chief Operating Officer from OBI Seafoods. If you could please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, please continue.
For the record, Brian O'Leary, COO of OBI Seafoods. I want to thank the committee and Madam Chairman Vance for holding this discussion on SCR 10. I was born and raised in Kodiak, Alaska, grew up in a commercial fishing family, and still annually commercially fish for halibut and sable fish. As discussed earlier by the other testimonies, the industry is dealing with an unprecedented market dislocation. Multiple seafood species are being affected simultaneously, which is unprecedented. OBI supports this resolution to create seafood stakeholder task force to begin a dialogue to move the industry forward. Coastal Alaska heavily relies upon the economic activity of our fisheries, and the task force can help stabilize Alaska seafood with the dialogue through this through the stakeholders. As mentioned before by Senator Stevens, a similar situation faced the industry. Task force was created with great success, focusing on value added, quality, and marketing for salmon. The history of Alaska and Alaskan is one of resiliency, handling tough conditions to find a way forward. Thank you for your time this morning, and thank you to Senator Stevens for and his staff for working on this. Any questions?
Well, you are our final testifier, so I will now open up questions from committee members for our testifiers. Do we have any questions? Seeing and hearing none, thank you for your testimony. And for all four of you, I do have some questions for Mr. Lampkin. Thank you for working on this. This is something that I think is highly needed. But just for the public, like, these members are going to be appointed by the presiding officers. And for people who may be interested, once this legislation passes, what's the timeline for the appointments to take place? Is there a anticipated start date of this task force?
For the record, Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens, Chair Vance. So I can only speak to what the expectation might be, and that is that if this were to pass this session, that would probably be sometime in early to mid-May, or let's hope by then, and that presumably between now and then, as it starts the trajectory for it being to pass, that interested stakeholders would alert you or any of their legislators or certainly the presiding officers of their interests, and then we begin that vetting process even before the thing might pass. The first meeting would be presumably late May, an organizational meeting that would be in person, likely in Anchorage, and followed by organizational meeting and a series of meetings throughout the course of the interim virtually, and that was purposefully written to address the fiscal note and keep the costs down of the thing. And then finally to meet in January once again in person to review their final report and recommendations before dissolving the task force at the end of January.
Wonderful. I think that may help for those watching in the public and for our members. Any questions for Mr. Lampkin on the specifics of the legislation? Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the Chair, Mr. Lampkin, can you tell me what was intended by the representation of fishing-dependent coastal communities? Are we talking municipalities or are we talking tribes? What are we talking?
Through the Chair, Representative Carpenter, either one. I was trying to keep it general, and but have the component of venture to say CDQs, but folks that are either a part of a CDQ or say a city council, or maybe a mayor, business interests, perhaps in the rural areas.
Thank you.
I had one other. I guess I'm not sure if it's a question or statement on page 2, line 20, ways to improve the coordination of harvesting, processing, and marketing of seafood. Can you just speak to kind of the intent behind that?
Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. So confirm page 2, line 20?
Yes, it's bullet number 3.
So the original, as was mentioned by Senator Stevens, this was drafted and modeled after legislation passed in 2002, 2003, just over 20 years ago. And I'm trying to recall, I'm pretty sure that particular bullet point was duplicated from their efforts back then. Presumably that 20 years have gone by and ways to coordinate harvesting, processing, and marketing have developed and improved.
Wonderful. Well, the thing that I thought of that would be my intent is more communication and coordination with our harvesters and the processors. As you know, last year there was a large outcry and confusion around the price of fish, and a lot of fishermen felt like they were not communicated with clearly. And this is something that I brought up on ASBE's board, and just hoping that we can better communicate on, you know, expectations and anticipation of harvest, because a lot of fishermen went into debt not knowing just how bad the market was. So I'm hoping that that's one of the conversations that take place in this task force, is ways to improve the engagement with the harvesters and getting their participation in the marketing aspect, because as you know, if they feel that they're a partner in that global market, they're going to work hard to improve the quality of the fish that they deliver, and also feeling like they are going to be taken care of for the price of their fish so they can feed their families. So it is my hope that that is a discussion that takes place with this task force, so that we have the full participation of the fishermen and really regain that confidence in relationships that is so needed for this to continue. Because if we don't have our fishermen on board, then there's no fish to take to the market. So thank you for your work on this. And just for committee members, the history of the Salmon Task Force is really was a great work. And just to make it relatable, one of the products that was produced was a salmon burger. And, you know, it's common in restaurants now and, you know, in the grocery store and things like that. And that was a product of that Salmon Task Force and the work that they did that is still very relevant today. So hopefully there will be some more great ideas that can really jumpstart the market for us. Any final questions or comments from members before we set this bill aside? Okay, thank you, Mr. Lamkin. I am going to set an amendment deadline for this resolution by tomorrow, Wednesday 24th, by 5 p.m. so that we can take it up on Thursday. We will also be taking up public testimony on this resolution, and I look forward to continued work. And also, Mr. Lamkin's available for any questions and you know, coordination on drafting of any amendments, as well as my office. So seeing there is no other business before the committee, we will meet again on Thursday, April 25th at 10 p.m. to bring back HR 8 Fisheries Bycatch Regulation and SCR 10 by Senate Finance. Seeing there is no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect it is 11:03 a.m.